Let's welcome in Matt Chatham. He's getting ready for his call of the game tonight along with Dan Roach. And he's brought to you by the New England Carpenters Union. It's time to build. To learn more about the New England Carpenters Union, visit NERCC.org. Matt, you ready to go? Dress rehearsal? You can't say it during the game tonight. I don't know if you heard Roach's rule.
No, the jar's sitting right by me. I'm not touching that word. But, yeah, we're ready to roll. This place is fun. Carolina is one of the sort of unique stadiums in the league. It's right downtown. You sort of have the skyscrapers peeking over the top of the top row there. They put the big speakers down on the field, and they play heavy bass music throughout. The place kind of shakes a little bit. So as far as third preseason games go, this gives you a pretty good environment.
Yeah, also one of the best media meals in the league. I have to say, I'm going to miss that tonight.
No, but not today, Chris.
Was it bad?
It was meatloaf.
Oh, and
I like meatloaf. But when you think Carolina, you think barbecue or some sort of quasi-southern cooking kind of thing. It was good meatloaf, but it just, I don't know.
Yeah, but meatloaf is one of those foods that you want cooked in someone's home.
Yeah, not on a plastic plate.
They normally have barbecue down there, and it's pretty good.
Barbecue is phenomenal. Yeah.
Catered meatloaf, mass-produced meatloaf. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, it's a little off. We got the peas and carrots. Back in the old Patriots days, the old Earl training table always had the tray of peas and carrots, and nobody ever touched peas and carrots. But they put out peas and carrots today, so I had a scoop for old time's sake.
Wow. Matt, let me ask you, and I talked with Jeff Howe a little bit about this, too. You know, Tom Brady, I know we said he felt rusty last week against Philadelphia, but he looked pretty good to the layman. The one sort of, I don't want to say red flag, but one thing you would have liked to have seen more of was him establishing a connection with some of the newer or newish receivers like Philip Dorsett and Cordell Patterson. Do you think that is a priority at all tonight? And does it matter? Because if this is the dress rehearsal for September 9th, and Julian Edelman plays a lot like he did last week, well, you're not going to have him on September the 9th.
Well, I think you get a better chance to see how this could work tonight because Gronk's going to be out the field presumably with him for a big chunk of this. And I think if you want to see, stretch the field plays with Philip Dorsett, when you're throwing shot plays outside the numbers and you don't have an inside the, in the middle of the field threat, well, yeah, the corners sag off it. There's not sort of the and/or kind of thing going on. But now you got Gronk, which might pull coverage, which might change things. So all of a sudden, the couple go routes you didn't see go well with Philip or maybe some downfield, drag stuff or in cuts or things that are deeper down the field, all of a sudden they're magically more open this week, and it might not be because they're, air quote, more on the same page. It's because some of those other threat elements are on the field now with them. So the Cordarrelle Patterson, the one that actually reminded me last week of that I think married up with that idea of a little bit of rust was the little skinny post route to Cordarrelle. And it was high. It was a little bit high by Tom. And, just watching here from and calling the game, you're not exactly certain if the route was broke off a little earlier. Tom just sailed it a little bit. But that was a good example of, okay, they probably obviously went back to meeting rooms and said, okay, I want you to break it at this. Or so, no, Tommy, I'm going to put it on you here. And you learn from that. And then you do. You hope that you come out this week and see something different. But, yeah, those are the two big guys. Philip Dorsett, Cordarrelle Patterson. We saw how much Cordarrelle can win in the gadget stuff. Throw him a screen pass, throw him a quick look thing, maybe reverse. But can he do it in the traditional pass portion and earn a role that way?
Matt, if you're a linebacker, how do you approach playing a quarterback like Cam Newton?
It's a whole different set of rules, and that's why it's very tough. And I think that's why it's a really good thing that you get exposure to it in a preseason game like this, because you sort of test schemes out. You sort of say, okay, would this front be good in an RPO situation, that the acronym run pass option, for a guy that's going to have that fake prior to basically every snap? Do we want to run a five-man front? Whatever. You get into the weeds of all the different ways you can do it, and sometimes you use these games as sort of a test tube thing. Okay, that sucked. That didn't work. Or work pretty good, and then when Houston sees us in week one, do they try to come at us a different way? Presuming we'll use that. So these are always fun situations, because everything you did, maybe even from like a pass rush standpoint to the tightness you're willing to set an edge as an edge guy, is obviously different against Colt McCoy. It was doing a little bit of boot stuff, but not the same escapability, and definitely not the same as Nick Foles. So it's sort of an entirely different thing. You have to have your eyes in the backfield at all times, and you got to be a key reader, and that's something that these guys are used to doing in college, but not nearly as much in the pros.
We talk about, Matt, it being a sort of a good test for the Patriots facing Cam Newton in that Panthers offense. On the other side of it, Panthers have a pretty good front seven. It could be a nice test for the Patriots offensive line, which has undergone some shifts here with the Isaiah Wynn injury.
Well, yeah, and I think Coach Belichick has hammered this point home through the media, and it's something he continues to talk about. And it's true that their front, not even the front seven, just their front period, with Kimon Short and Dontari Poe. He's a new addition here, and just sort of a really high amount of respect for what his interior guys and the guys that have a guy directly in your face are going to be able to do. So those are cool tests to get at this time of year. It's nice to have some exposure like that because you have some other teams in your division that can come at you that way. But there's a high end of respect for that particular part. So they love the early testing. I mean, obviously, as a New England person and covering a New England team, the respect here for Luke Kuechly is off the charts as well. So a lot of good players on that side of the ball, good test early in the season.
Yeah, where do you put Kuechly in the league at his position?
I think he's one of the best. And it's sort of for a former linebacker, you know, you find yourself sort of just watching him. You know, you watch the defensive plays, and it's just amazing how quick he is. His first step is great. His read and react is great. His ability to separate is great. He just pretty much does everything well. It reminds me a little bit, obviously the body type's not the same, but a comment that Coach Belichick would always use with us in meetings about Zach Thomas. Basically, if you don't block him, he's going to make the tackle. And Kuechly's kind of that way. It's like if you don't take him out of the play, and it's not even just get your hands on him, Luke Kuechly's the guy that if he is not blocked and finished, he probably made the tackle. And that's those kind of guys you have a ton of respect for.
Matt, I was interested for your perspective on Jason McCourty's play last week against the Eagles. And I would say throughout the entire camp, I think a lot of people saw the one touchdown he allowed to Shelton Gibson and sort of drew some conclusions there. What did you think of his overall performance?
No, he's been super solid this camp, the times we've seen him. But I always kind of have this thing in the back of my head where I don't like to hammer people in low red zone coverage situations, because when you get to the 1 and the 2 and the 3 yard line, it's the hardest part of the field for a defensive player, especially when you're read and run to pass. Usually one good fake down there, and most guys get toasted. You know, that's why if you have a good fade guy, or you have a good guy like Julian Edelman, that's a good one cut and it'll just break your ankles and leave you there. You sometimes, even really great players will get made to look silly down there. So I don't put a ton of stock in that. The basic thing you want to do is not let them get down there. Don't let them get 98 yards down the field to you. But no, outside of that, just his ability, you know, and this is more individual drills because we haven't seen as much team, but to pop inside, to play either side if need be, to really looks like he can take on different body types, he's just going to be an important piece. I really don't think it matters necessarily if he's the starter opposite Gilmore, if it's Rowe, or if he's in a rotational situation, and we still don't know where Jonathan Jones' health is going to be at, and is he ready to be a full volume sort of slot corner guy. But even if Jason McCourty ends up being your fourth corner, you're really happy to have him on the team.
We're talking with Matt Chatham. He's getting ready for tonight's game between the Patriots and the Panthers, kicking off in about 20 minutes. One of the things that's been eliminated in the NFL is the first cutdown, Matt. Do you like the new setup? I mean, it's going to be pretty frantic at the end for every team across the league.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not the one who has to make the decisions on these players. I always wonder, we talked about this a lot last year, where does that help them or does it make my life more difficult? Because you do have, it's two games, but you've got, you basically have a week, a really short week to say, holy cow, here comes all these people we have to make a decision on, as opposed to the tiered decision. I would feel like there's a little less stress in that spot where now, hey, there might be a handful of guys you didn't expect to be available. So you get another quick look at them, but I don't know. I think invariably, I haven't heard the people above us talk bad about it or that it was some sort of strain on them. It's just something you adjust to. I think if you're one of those players that is one of those bubble guys, the guy that are worried or concerned where you're going to fit, it does sort of take out that element of the 80 through 90th guy, or even the 70 through 80th guy, who are, and I hate the term, but more camp body-ish. You haven't gotten reps. It sort of takes that question mark out of it, and it doesn't drag the process along nearly as much.
Yeah, I don't feel like with the Patriots we paid as much attention to it last year, because it didn't feel like there were so many things up in the air.
Right,
whereas
right.
This year, it feels like there's a lot of things up in the air, and that's why it's sort of noticeable.
Yeah, and that's a fair point, especially with Isaiah Wynn going down last week. Does that help one of these veteran tackles become part of the formula? We don't know what's going on at the wide receiver position. The back position's unsettled. So, yeah, there's a lot of question marks. So maybe this year it's a little more intriguing.
All right, Matt, looking forward to your call with Rochie coming up.
All right, fellas, thank you.